Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and I tell you what, there is no better time to talk to Leslie Visser. I mean, I always say it's a great time to talk to Leslie Visser from CBS Sports, but again, this is some more so right now, and I'm so happy because, again, we were in the same year. I mean, pretty much, I came into the Pro Football Hall of Fame 1 year after you. You told me all the things, and you realize I think we're the last two media members that were actually able to go on the parade.
Oh, remember they had the car for us? It was so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what was a bad experience for me there? I mean, it's so huge, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so unexpected, and you can't. John Madden sent me a note, the Hall of Fame. You can't be born into it. You can't buy your way into it. You have to earn it.
Right.
And but so I remember, I mean, weren't you just so filled? I mean, so I went in with Troy Aikman. That was that class.
Right.
And all I remember is people knocking me down to get to Michael Irvin. And I'm like, this is not your year. This is my year. They're like, oh, my God.
Well, remember, now we're only allowed to have three-minute speeches, right? And so Joe Horrigan was so nervous. It's like, okay, so what's your script?
Script?
What are you talking about? So I get up there and I talk about going to Steeler games with my mom when I was 6 years old. And I weave through all the different things. And then... you know, at the end, because she paid full price for the tickets, and they're saying, why are you taking the bratty little kid there? All he's going to do is sit there and eat. And so at the end of the speech, I go, Mom, thank you for paying full price, and thank you for this. And I turn to Joe, and it says, $258, right?
Oh. Do you know they said that Cosell could, in his head, if you needed a minute 27, but that he could just do it off the top of his head and it would be exact.
Yeah.
So I guess we do have some kind of clock in our head.
Yeah, because I mean, I can kind of do that myself on radio hits, yeah, and TV hits and stuff like that. I know when I was doing the injury reports, I would always, you know, have, what do we have, 10 seconds each? And I would go through and I go, oh, I thought I was short 1 second on that, wasn't I? It's crazy.
That's why you're the professor.
I guess so.
Do you know how much life has changed for all of us? First of all, when we started, Radio Row was a row.
Right, right.
It was literally a row. Also, I don't know if I ever told you this. One time doing a Steeler game, I had to interview Mario Lemieux. Was he one of your idols?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, I was so shocked. As soon as the interview ended, he lit up a cigarette.
Is that right?
Yes. And remember, everybody smoked.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Dierdorf told me they used to smoke at halftime. I mean, it's such
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jack Lambert, when I was going back there, he was smoking all the time, too.
Yeah. It's so weird how much everything has changed. But
of course, the one great part is that you are the only woman in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you also are coming out with a book that's now out, Sometimes You Have to Cross When It Says Don't Walk. And what an incredible career you're able to talk about in this book. Tell us how it started.
Well, I'll tell you, and by the way, the first person who actually, because of course you're a writer and a speaker,
yeah,
but my family was living in Cincinnati when I was like 10, maybe, and at that time, women, I don't know, what did your mom do for a living?
She was an operating room nurse supervisor at the VA hospital in Pittsburgh.
Okay, fabulous. But at that time, women's choices were really teacher, nurse, or homemaker, you know, maybe a domestic. So my mother, we were walking around in Cincinnati, and she said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, you know what? I want to be a sports writer. And instead of saying, are you out of your mind, you know, you're going to go to the moon, she said, that's great. Sometimes you have to cross when it says don't walk.
That's great. So did you start at the Boston Globe, or where did you start writing?
I did. And you know, thank you, Pittsburgh. I went to the Globe on a Carnegie Foundation grant.
Did you really?
Yes. It was open to 20 women across America who wanted to go into jobs that were 95% male.
Okay.
So, I mean, the Boston Globe, right? Do you know when CBS first came to me? Now, as you know, the Boston Globe was Peter Gammons, Bob Ryan, Bud Collins, Will McDonough.
Will was my mentor, by the way.
Ours, mine too. I mean, if Will said, remember when Will punched Ray Claiborne for
us? Oh, yeah.
That was the greatest.
Oh, you'll like this. I was making a presentation for somebody and hoping that they were going to go for it. And I said, now, you got to understand, Will McDonough is really in favor of this, and you need to vote for it. And if not, he's going to come down and he's going to punch you like Raymond Claiborne.
Oh, that's so great. It was an honor. I mean, I went to Super Bowls and Final Fours and Wimbledons, and CBS came to me, and they'd had, of course, the great Phyllis George. It was wonderful.
Right.
But they came, and they said, we had a woman who knew TV, but she didn't know sports. So we want to hire a woman who knows sports, and we'll teach her the TV. And my first reaction was, why would I leave the Globe?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was the same thing, too, because I was at the News Tribune in Tacoma, and I had, like, three times I said no to a full-time ESPN deal. I'd been working for him 5 years part-time, and then I said, what was that last offer? Oh, yeah, I think I'll do that.
Are you but you weren't a West Coast guy. You were
Oh, no, I'm a Pittsburgh guy. Yeah. No, in fact, you'll appreciate this, being, you know, but I still remember back in the 70s and the 80s and that, you know, campaigning with Paula Smith from UPI to get her more access into the locker room. Because, I mean, you know what it was like. I mean, you know, they wouldn't let women into the locker room. Right. Where you have to get the information. They would bring somebody out. I mean, how tough was that trying to get stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, thanks for asking that. John Madden once described, he said, I was caught in a two-way go. So Madden-esque, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there were no provisions for equality the first 7 years I covered the NFL, so I was in all those parking lots around the country. But you know what? I think it made me a better reporter because you know how now people just stick their mic in?
Right.
They don't make eye contact. They don't. But I would have to decide, okay, if I'm going to get Steve Grogan, I might miss Terry Bradshaw.
Right.
Because I was out there all by myself. But John said the two-way go was I didn't want to complain to the Globe because I wanted to do the job, and I didn't want to complain to the Patriots or the NFL for the same reason.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to say, oh, a woman can't do this. So I would be out there trying to make that decision, you know, what am I, like a track meet. But it was, it certainly, the Patriots were not the dynasty that we know now.
Not those days. I mean, no, they were pretty bad.
It was pretty, you know what, it was really a fun, it was fun though, because, you know, I used to just, in the very beginning, just go around and say, hi, I'm Leslie Visser from the Boston Globe. I know Will McDonough.
Yeah.
Like, really? What
then, then you were fine.
Right, and then I go to Wimbledon, I'm Leslie Visser, I know Bud Collins.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, Will told me, it's like, you know, Al Davis was standing over there, and Al says, who's that? And it's like, and so it's like, I had to get Will's endorsement to talk to Al, and then Al talked to me all the time after that.
Well, that's still pretty rare, but, you know, Al, I mean, only Will, that's when we had phones.
Right.
At the Globe, he would have Roselle on one line and Al on the other. Uh-huh. I mean, he was so magnificent and taught us all, really, how to report, how to cover this game. And I'm going to tell, no one's listening, so I can tell.
No.
Great. Okay, so I can tell the story about myself. Someone had a book party for me in Washington 2 weeks ago, I guess. And so I got a list of some of the people who were going to be there. And one of them, and this is what the text said, one of them is Debbie Dingell, the representative from Michigan.
Right.
And so it said Debbie Dingell, who represents Tom Brady. And I said, you know, I've known Tom Brady a long time, and I don't think the congresswoman is his agent. So I called my husband, who, that's why he was the captain of Harvard basketball and
right.
why we did not go to Harvard. I called him up and I said, did you know that John Harbaugh is represented by Debbie Dingell? And he says to me, she represents Ann Arbor, you idiot.
Yikes.
Oops.
Going through the business, what were some of the toughest things that you experienced as a woman?
I can remember being on the air once, and you know this yourself,
oh, yeah.
that 7 seconds can be a minute
yeah.
if it's dead air. Right?
Right.
And I can remember once I had to interview, have you ever or many times tried to interview Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No.
It's not an easy go. So we were on the air, and first of all, you know, he's 9 feet tall. He's a yeah. bowl tall.
You would have to really hold the microphone
yes.
up like
that's
that.
That's what yeah. people, and they always used to meet me and say, oh, my God, you're so much taller and skinnier. But that's because my whole life, you know, was with my hand up there. Anyway, so post-game, I say to Kareem, whatever, how were you able to come back against Portland or whatever it was? Nothing.
Nothing.
Dead air.
Uh-oh.
Dead air for 7 seconds, which is an eternity
yeah.
on the air. Finally, he looks down at me and he says, what? So it's a good thing I have that Boston humor, you know,
yeah.
because I'll tell you, there have been times that, you know, that you just have to muscle through it.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase, or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one? Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969.
And you were such a trendsetter in helping women advance in this business. Mara Dooley, of course, my producer, is such a big fan and grew up idolizing what you did. Tell us some touching stories of people that you helped groom, helped in this business.
Oh, that wouldn't be for me to say, but one of my close friends is the great Michelle Tafoya, who's right here, who I've already, you know, talked to a few times. But no, it wouldn't be for me to say. But I did decide early on, Maurice knows, that it used to be people thought, okay, the woman got the job. And I thought to myself, no, let's make it like a pizza where you get a slice, I get a slice, Michelle gets a slice, Susie Colbert gets a slice. So I really think that was my view of it. And like at CBS, we have two fantastic women. I don't know if Allie LaForce, or actually Dana Jacobson works for us now too. And, you know, we have tremendous women at CBS, and I love watching them grow.
Well, see, what I appreciate, because I started doing this stuff when I was 17 years old, so I was kind of the outsider. And now in the last 2 years, one of the big thrills of my life in my career is doing sidelines. And so how about my first sideline game being educated by Pam Oliver and also Jen Mueller, who's in Seattle.
Yeah,
and so
the greats.
And now doing sidelines every week, you know, I have with Michelle and everybody else. It's so fun because, you know, they embrace me and help me and educated me on what to do.
Wow, and those are two of the greats, two of the greats. I remember once I made a complete fool of myself because... Don't we all?
No.
It's the secret of life. But sidelines, it's always cold.
Yeah.
You know, you're always
cold.
I mean, it's Soldier Field or wherever. So I remember once I decided to go with battery-operated socks in Lambeau. And, of course, they went dead in the second quarter. And John Madden, on the air, like, I'm clumping around, right, with these big D batteries hanging out the back. And he said on the air, that is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. So I'll tell you the secret of warmth. Do you want to know?
Yeah.
You too? It is sock, baggy, sock.
Sock, baggy,
it's
sock.
It's a very simple one. Some assistant coach told me this. And you know what? I guess now they have electronic warmers probably.
They do, yeah.
It used to be because the heat would get trapped in between. So sock, baggy, sock is. But now somebody told me that Anderson Cooper on New Year's Eve, his entire outfit was like electronically heated.
Oh, yeah, well, I know. For me, we were doing the draft in Chicago, and it was freezing.
Yes,
one
of course.
Day. And I still remember how many things of heat they had to bring over there just to try to get through the show SportsCenter.
I can tell, you know, your old Pittsburgh Steelers, one time it was so cold that I went up to Jerome Bettis, and I said, you have to have a great game because, as you know, in the cold, your mouth freezes.
Right.
I said, so I cannot be saying Mustafa Amafala, what was his name? So I said, I cannot be saying that with a frozen mouth. So I said to Jerome, I don't care what your coaches have told you. You must have a great game.
I had one in Lambeau because I had the segment right before NFL Live or the show at 11. So I had a 10:58 segment. So I'm in Lambeau Field for a playoff game, and it's like minus 10.
Oh.
And so I go there, and I was always stupid because I didn't wear a heavy coat when I was doing my stand-ups. So I have just a regular coat on. So I'm standing there, and as I'm doing it, Bob Lee takes it in and says, okay, so ask me a couple questions. And literally, they saw the HD studio, frostbite was going up my face. My mouth was puckering.
So...
And then Bob Lee says, oh, and we got a couple extra minutes here.
And I used to watch. I would say, what is wrong with Irv Cross?
Right.
And then I, you know, became Irv Cross.
Was it Michael Ornstein throwing him, or was it something else?
Oh, yeah. No, it was his mouth frozen.
Okay.
So, yes, that was a great moment. But it was I don't know if you remember. No, it wouldn't be in your sideline time. But when I first started, you could get closer to the bench, so you could stick your face in the warmer.
Oh,
but
okay,
you know now. You know,
I only do that at halftime.
Yeah, but you know how now they clear you down.
Yeah.
But that's something people at home don't appreciate when they're warm. How freezing Pam Oliver has been, you know, or Jen.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Okay, curiously, with what's going on right now with women now opening up and telling all the bad things, tell us things that you are it's going to come out of this right now, because obviously it's sad that so many women have been so negatively affected in our business, and now they're getting a chance to fix. What's going to be fixed?
Well, it's I think we're in a market correction right now, and I have been blessed that none of my bosses, which were the great
Vince
Storia and people at CBS and when I was on Monday Night Football, did
By the way,
World
thank
Series
you for sharing
him.
Vince with me, because I work with him
of
so
course,
many years. It was
of
great.
Of course, it was great. I'm going to tell you a Vince story afterwards. But I was never sexually or economically harassed by any of my bosses. Now, that's not to say players. You know, I had to learn default mechanisms, but never my bosses. I was never denied an assignment. I was never not paid competitively. So I really, and I know, my heart breaks for those gymnasts. I mean, so I think now it's finally we're correcting, you know, what really had gone on for a long time negatively.
What do you think will come out of that correction?
Oh, I think one, people will become more aware. You know, they won't. You know, and I know Matt Damon got in trouble for saying this, but I know what he was saying, that there's a difference between saying, "Wow, that's a pretty dress," and dragging somebody up to your hotel room. So, but I think people will become more aware and not just slap you in places they shouldn't. Or I'm hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hopefully. I was so pleased that that story, as bad as it was the main story on Time magazine last year. That was so important.
I mean, and the fact that all these gymnasts, I mean, anyone who's had children, you know, you just, I don't know. I mean, how many years did that guy get, Nasser?
I think 136.
Is that what
like
it
that.
Was?
Yeah. And he still has a couple more coming up on more trials.
Oh, so it can't be enough, right?
No,
it can't be enough prison time for, do you know, I was going to tell you a great Will McDonough story, that when Will died, Billy Bulger was the head of the Massachusetts Senate.
Yeah.
He was one of the pallbearers.
Yeah.
And we were pretty sure that Whitey Bulger was in disguise in the back.
No, but you know, they grew up right next
of
to course.
Each other.
Of
yeah.
course.
But, I mean, we couldn't find Whitey Bulger.
I know.
And there he was.
That's why I go to Santa Monica every year, just to see if Whitey's still there.
Yeah, he was going to the coffee shop.
Yeah. Tell me more about the book, Sometimes You Have to Cross, when it says, don't walk.
You know, it is a memoir. I finally have embraced the trailblazer. You know, for a long time I didn't want to wear it. But I finally embraced it that you can't, as Michelle said to me, Leslie, you took all the firsts. But it's just really anecdotal. You know, you can open it anywhere. You'll know all the names. You know, I got endorsements from people as varied as Robert Kraft and Joe Torre.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I've really kind of been blessed to do every sport at the highest level, the reason I finally wrote it, you'll totally get this, is I have the privilege of being in both the Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame and the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, and so everyone's been telling me for 20 years, oh, you ought to write a book, you ought to write a book, and I thought, you know, you can't really be in the Sports Writers Hall of Fame and do an as told to. So it just took me a while to get around to it, but I just, you know, I pretended, well, you know this too, being on the air, coming from writing, that instead of typing, we're talking.
Right.
Right, but it's the same writing.
Yeah, but the only difference is it's only like about 45 seconds.
So correct.
It's like you don't want to go longer than 45 seconds. Leslie Visser, thanks so much.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On your career.
And I didn't even get to ask you this. Yes, thank you for this. But when people are asking me about the game, we didn't get around to the game, I say, this is what I know. Death, taxes, and Tom Brady.
There you go. I'm the same way.
Is that really?
I've watched it 5 times for championships or Super Bowls, 12 times in conference games. Don't doubt Tom Brady.
Right.
And even worse, don't get him mad. Hey, Lizzie, thanks for joining us.
You're the best, Professor.
Thanks.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.